as God answers his people as they accuse him of many things. And he responds, and then he in turn asks them questions. You know, Jesus was great about answering a question with a question, and that's what God does here in Malachi. So today I want to talk about the priesthood. The priesthood, past and present. Yes, there is a priesthood going on, and you're a part of it if you're a Christian. And we'll get to that more towards the conclusion of this message. Let me read these verses we're going to cover today, Lord willing, verses 1 down through verse 9 in chapter 2. Verses 1 through 9. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuge on your faces, the refuge of your solemn feast, and one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace. And I gave to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Notice that is the title Malachi uses many times in his prophecy. Verse 8, but you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I have also made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. Let's pray. God, open our eyes and ears to what you have for us to receive by the illumination of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for another opportunity to hear from you, and we praise you as your word goes forth, not only here in this sanctuary, but in many sanctuaries across this land. And we praise you and thank you for that. And we thank you for that word that forever settled in heaven, as is spoken of and we read here this morning, the truth. And if we really know the truth will set us free. We pray that it will set many sin-soaked and souled individuals that they might come to receive a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And for those of us who do know him, that we may grow in grace and knowledge of you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over many years that I've preached the Word of God, I don't know how many books I've went through, several, maybe, you know, a few dozen or more books of the Bible. When you go through books of the Bible, you find a great variance. You can't cherry pick, you know, well, I don't want to talk about that today, and that won't go to float too well with congregation or something. But it's been compared to, like, for instance, sometimes the information is super exciting that you're preaching on. I mean, it's like a wedding. Jesus is alive, and sin is forgiven, and miracles take place, and someone walks on the water. Jesus and Peter walks on the water, you read about heaven, and you read about it taking heaven and living forever, and where there's no more death, and there's no more sin, and there's no more tears. But then there are sections of the scripture where it's not a wedding, it's a funeral. Somebody dies. Somebody is judged. Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed. A flood comes, and all but 8 people are spared. Jesus, God on a cross, is dying for the sins of mankind, and it becomes pitch dark at high noon. And then there are other times that it's like a classroom, and It's not super emotionally up or down. It's teaching you. It's a teaching message. Now, sometimes the tone of the Bible is kind of like a football coach at halftime. He's saying, telling the team to go out and win one for the Gipper, the famous saying. And other times it's like a drill sergeant, you know. It's like the Great Commission. Hey, do this. This is your job. Get out there. Do it. Do it. These are your marching orders. You know, straighten up. Get with the program. It's commanding. It's demanding. And you're going to get yelled at, but it's God, not the pastor, not the teacher, not the preacher that's doing the yelling. It's God doing the yelling. Well, today, this isn't a wedding sermon, all right? This is God yelling at the priest. This is God saying that the priests who have the responsibility to get the word out, they're not doing their job. And he approaches it from those that did to those who weren't. But at all, the whole book of Malachi flies under the banner of God says in the very beginning, I love you. All right? Speak the truth in love, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Now, one of the things that we're going to notice, and we're going to pick up on this next week, is the word that is used in this section over and over is my covenant. In fact, I just read to you in verse 4, my covenant. Verse 5, my covenant. In verse 8, my covenant. When we get to it next Sunday, it's my covenant down in verse 10. All right? Now, what we're going to look at today is God is going to talk about how the priest, the Levitical priest, had broke the covenant with God. We're breaking the covenant, all right, with him. Then, Lord willing, next week we're going to look at how he made a covenant with Israel, all right? And they broke that. The Israelites broke that covenant. And then we're going to get down into verses 13 through 17 where he talks about they had broke their marriage covenant. Their marriage covenant, all right? So God wants to have a covenant with you. And as I want you to see up here on the screen, every time we have the Lord's Supper, we are celebrating that covenant. Do you have that? Aaron, will you pull that up? We need to know that Christianity is a covenant. Whenever we have the Lord's Supper, we're celebrating. In fact, as Jesus said, this is my testament. This is my covenant with you. Testament and covenant is the same word. We're all in this together. Whenever you came to Christ, you made a covenant with Christ, because that is what Christ came to do, was establish a covenant with you. Have a relationship with you, all right? An intimate relationship with you. Now, let's start in verse 1. In verse 1. And notice he says right off the bat, here's who I'm addressing. I'm addressing the priest, all right? The priest. And now we know that the priesthood came from Aaron, all right? We can blame Aaron for it. Aaron, of course, being Moses' brother. And it was started with him, and there was this very select tribe called the Levites, all right? And it was a family business, family owned and operated. They passed it down to the family. Each person in that, you know, the son, he was a priest. Then his child would be the next one, and his child, and on it went. Now, we're going back clear to the Old Testament. And I want to mention four or five things that I want to share in relationship. The first point I want to make here this morning is the closed ears and the hard hearts. There's two things that Malachi addresses, that God addresses through Malachi, and it's the same problem we have today, all right? First of all, if you will not hear, and if, notice it's conditional, you can do it. It's not outside the realm of possibility. That's what an if means. But if you will not hear, if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts. Now, what we have here, and to borrow a line from an old movie, What we have here is a failure to communicate. Okay? A failure to communicate. I know I will lose some of you all pretty early. You'll go to sleep on me. That happens, you know, I know. Okay? We will have a failure to communicate. All right? I can stomp and snort and I can do a dance and I can beat and I can do that. All right? But I know it will happen because it happens every Sunday. So I expect it. I live with it. I deal with it. That's life. All right. And God here says we have a failure to communicate. Now, just this past week, it's been in the news. How many agents, how many police, how many Secret Service agents, 70-some people were there at that rally that happened a week ago, that allowed the president, the former president of the United States, to almost be assassinated. What they had and what they're telling us is they had a failure to communicate. Now, whether we ever get to the truth, I don't think we ever will, because the buck won't ever, you know, will never stop with anyone. If they fired the head of the Secret Service, that's not going to solve the problem. That's not going to get at the root of the problem. Is why did this happen? Why do you allow an important person like this to be put in a position, okay? We were up at Worlds of Fun yesterday, and boy, we had Worlds of Fun. Man. I saw somebody wearing a T-shirt. And I couldn't read what the bottom part, what I could read, it said, "Vote Trump, Fauci, 2024. Well, that's weird. But then it said at the bottom, "Give us another shot." Already. Okay. Now, God here mentions the problem that we have with mankind is that we have a failure to communicate. All right. We're not listening, we will not hear, and we will not take it to heart what we hear. So I realize, and you've dealt with it, have you ever tried to talk to a child? You're trying to talk to them, I'm not going to listen to you. All right? Or they're going to stick some headphones on, or they're going to try to do something. I'm not listening. In CB talk, I don't have my ears on. You got your ears on? No, I don't have my ears on. And as I want to point out, often what is the problem? The resistance to the truth is not that we don't understand it, but it's that we don't like what's being said. We don't like to be told what to do. It goes right back to our great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve. We just don't like it, all right? And our actions will reveal it. And oftentimes, too, it's, I've got a know-it-all attitude. You can't teach me anything. I'm 16 years old and you can't teach me anything. I already know everything already, okay? So there's nothing you can teach me. Now, realize, listening is the first responsibility. I took a class in college, a speech class, all right? You can actually get a degree in speech, but you can't get a degree in listening. Now, what's more important? What's more important, all right? I realize often I don't listen as well as I talk, as well as I speak. I've got a problem, as all of us do, all right? Now, it's one thing when you don't listen to me, but it's another thing when we don't listen to God. He's the highest authority. He's the Supreme Court. He's the final authority. His word should always get the final say, and that's the problem. So, first of all, there's this communication. There is this, I will not listen. And then he says, you will not take it to heart. You will not take it to heart. It's one thing to hear, but then to take what you've heard and translate it into action. See, we prove we hear something when we do what we've been told to do, whether it's on a parent-child relationship, whether it's a job-boss relationship, whether it is God speaking to us and telling us what to do. Now, again, I caution you, he did say, if you will do this, if you'll listen, if you'll take it to heart. So it's not that we can't do it, but will we do it? You know, I see sometimes, I was not raised in the church. My parents, my mother in particular, got their pastor was let go, who actually married me and my wife years ago. His name was Forrest G. Bailey. Used to be on television years ago. Anyway, they dropped out of church for many, many years. And I've seen people like me that miraculously got back in, got saved, got in church, stayed in church their whole life. I've seen people that I was raised with. Their parents raised them in the church. Their parents brought them to church, and they're sitting at home today. They're sitting at home today. What happened? Did they not take it to heart? Their parents did everything they could possibly do. They can't. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Where are they today? All right. Which brings me to a second thing I want to point out to you. Second point. Cursed children and manure makeovers. All right. Notice here. He says, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already. Because you don't take it to heart. Again, here's the consequences of not listening and taking it to heart. I'm going to curse your blessings. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuge on their faces, the refuge of your solemn feast, and one will take you away with it. All right? Here's God here. And he's saying, I blessed you with kids. But you're cursing your children. You're cursing your children by the fact you will not take to heart, you will not listen, and you will not apply it. And it's, again, bleeding into your children. It's affecting them and infecting them. All right? That's the problem. In fact, as I want to zero in a couple of other translations of that first part that's mentioned here, he says, behold, I will make your descendants, the message, paraphrase says, yes, and the curse will extend to your children. All right? Now, I mentioned before that the Levitical priesthood was a family business. All right? Mom and dad, dad was the priest. All right, the parents were watching the children. Well, the parents aren't doing right. They're not listening right. They're not applying right. They're not living right. And the children are picking up on this. It's affecting their children because they're seeing it. I've read many biographies before of people who talked about in particular homes where the children were turned off by the parents' lack of reverence and respect. It was just like, well, we go, there's one famous individual who dropped out of a particular church because he could do more business in a bigger church. See, church was not to hear from God. Church was to make business connections, okay? So here were these people here. And they were leading their children astray. They were literally cursing their children. In fact, they were taking their children, as he mentions here, and literally, as I want to point out in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14, Jesus said, if the blind leads the blind, what? They both fall off the ditch. They both fall into the ditch. So if I'm leading my children the wrong way, all I'm asking for them is to do the nosedive. I'm leading them in the wrong direction, all right? People are following these people, these priests, and they're leading them off the cliff. And as I want to point out, some of us, all right, some of us have lived under the illusion, and my secretary didn't check the spelling on that, shouldn't be T in that, that we're an individual and that the decisions we make don't affect anyone else. People believe that lie, all right? Hey, not my fault. Not my fault. God here is saying your children are suffering because of your decisions. And then he gives a very graphic illustration of this. I want to point out to you up here a couple of other translations of this part. He says, behold, I will spread, the KJV says, dung. I've checked the Hebrew. What's dung mean? It means dung. It means poop. It means excrement. It means human waste, all right? That's exactly what it means. In fact, I was reading this morning the Bible, Interpreter Bible commentary I have back there in the office. It's amazing how we want to take words like that and dilute them. I quote from it, "Dung does not mean excrement, but the contents of the bowels of the slain sacrificial animals." Well, guess what was in the bowels? Could he said, "I slapped a bowel on your face"? All right. What he's getting at is, what's coming out is what I'm going to put on your face. What's coming out of you, I'm going to smear on your face. You're full of it. You're leading people astray. Your own children, you're cursing them with the way you're living, all right? I will splatter your faces with the manure from your festival sacrifices and throw you on the manure pile. In other words, you know, when you catch a fish or you shoot a deer, you know, you'll take that fish and what? Well, there's parts of it obviously you're going to eat, but there's parts of it you're going to discard. You're going to throw away. You field dress a deer, there's parts of it you're going to keep, parts of it you're going to throw away. That, remember what they were doing? We talked about this last week. First of all, they were bringing their blind, their lame, stuff they had stolen. They were bringing the bottom of the barrel. They were bringing their junk to God. That's how much respect and reverence they had for the Almighty, all right? That's the example they were setting for their children. That's the example they were setting for. They were letting the people do that, too, on top of it. Letting them do it, not stopping them dead in their tracks and say, "You can't bring this. This doesn't represent God. This is disgrace." But no, they allowed that. Now, they were to take, all right, the refuse, the parts, again, that were not to be sacrifices outside the camp, burn them. It's waste. Get rid of it. Thank God we live in a day and age where we get rid of our waste. We have developed a system to get rid of that waste. And we don't stop and realize how fortunate we are in our country to live in an area that way, because there are still places in the world in which we live in where they still have an issue and a problem with that. So here this morning, you didn't realize you were going to come and get a dung on the face sermon today, did you? Right? That's a lot worse than egg on your face, isn't it? All right? And this isn't putting soap in your mouth to clean your mouth out type of message. What God does is he uses bad words to describe bad sins and things that are going on. And how dare we come along and say, "Well, that's not what he said," because we're more righteous than him. No, he wants us to see ourselves. Here were these priests, and they were supposed to be so clean. See, you know, they were those who really, I mean, they cleaned themselves. They made sure, they zeroed in on that. It was part of their requirement. But God said, "You're not clean. You're as filthy as can be." Another passage of scripture that speaks to this over the prophet Nahum. In chapter 3 and verse 6, he says, "I will pelt you with filth. I will treat you with contempt and make you a spectacle." And that's exactly what he's doing here. He's saying, "I'm going to make visible what you think is invisible. I'm going to show people what you really are." Okay? No hidden agenda here. Again, it's like I talked about earlier. It's getting at the truth. I don't have any faith anymore in our country getting to the truth. I used to think we even had courts, we had FBI, we had CIA. I thought we had agencies that were neutral, that were not politicized. But we don't have that no more. So I don't know how we're ever going to get to the truth. We never got to the truth, you know, some 60 years ago when Kennedy was assassinated. So why do we expect it now? But notice what he says in the last part of this verse, what he's going to do to these priests. He says, and one will take you away with it. In other words, what God is saying here is that just like the waste has to be removed, you got to be removed. You know, I shared with you, I believe, last Sunday, I'm amazed at all of the people behind the pulpit in our day and age that are falling to the wayside. They get caught, all right? They get caught in sex deals. They get caught in financial dealings where they were dishonest. I shared it's all about girls, gold, and glory. They get caught in those areas, you know. It's honey, money, and celebrity, all right? And you know what so often happens with them, all right? They're like this refuge on the face. That's what they become to God. They just pick up and go somewhere else. And they start a new place somewhere else, or a church comes in and welcomes them in because, well, you know, they made money before and they drew a crowd before. Yeah, yeah. Read what the scriptures say about those that draw a crowd, okay? The problem is, like Paul mentioned, he said, I don't want to do anything to become a castaway. He said, I buffet my body. In other words, I keep my eyes where they should be. I keep my body thinking the way it should be. I'm trying not to walk in the flesh and fulfill the lusts of the flesh, all right? I don't want to become, his words, a castaway. I don't want to get booted out of being used by God. But I'm here to tell you, as we see here, that day comes in the eyes of God. And his vote is the only one that counts. And that leads me to a third point this morning. And I want to look at two different groups here. First one is those that did a good job. Those who had provided a good example. He goes back in time and he says, you know, Levi. Levi was a good priest. Notice what he says about him. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace. And I gave to them him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. You know, over and over, what does God say? And I've actually said, oh, I don't think that's good. He says, I want you to fear me. I want you to fear me. You know, fear can be a great motivation. Oh, boy, Dad's going to bust me. He's going to bust my butt. He's already told me, he's done it before, and he'll do it. He ain't just talking about it. It's going to happen. It's coming, okay? All right? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. All right. Here's the problem. We're not afraid of God. We're not afraid of God the way that we should be, or we wouldn't disobey the way that we would. You know, we would obey him. He said, those that love me will obey me. They'll obey me. He's saying about Levi. He said he feared me. Therefore, he obeyed me. And he begins to describe what Levi's job was. So what the job of the priest was down in verse 6. Notice this, if you would. He says the law of truth was in his mouth. If I'm going to get the truth, if I'm really going to get the truth, I'm not going to get it from the media. I'm not going to get it from the news. May not get it from my best friend. I'm going to get it from here. That was his main job. Get the truth out there. Oh, this world in which we live in, I just lamented about the fact, I don't think we're ever going to get to the truth about this, but I guarantee you there will come a day when all this stuff that's being said out there will go up in a puff of smoke like the Bible talks about, wood, hay, and stubble, and the truth will come out. And can you imagine that day? I'll tell you what happened that day when that fire, when that shooting took place. Here's what happened on that day. And you were behind it and you were responsible for it. I'll tell you who was telling the lies. I'll tell you all of these things. Here is God saying about the truth. And you know something about the truth? It excludes, and it is very exclusive, because the truth gets at the heart of the matter. It removes all the falsehood, and by its very nature, it's opposed to this day and age in which we talk about inclusion, all right? Inclusion. He says here, the very nature, give them the truth. Give your children the truth. They may not accept it. They may not take it, but still give them the truth. And then he goes on to say, notice, and injustice was not found on his lips. In other words, he practices what he preached. That's what Levi did, all right? You can't look at him and say, oh, you hypocrite. You said to be faithful and you committed adultery. You said to live a right life and you didn't live a right life. You were a poor example. He's saying this man had no bullet you could fire at him. He lived it. He breathed it. He didn't just talk it. He walked it. And he did it for a long time. Notice he walked with me in peace and equity. You know, Eugene Peterson calls it a long obedience in the same direction. That is, you keep going forward. You don't go backwards. You keep going forward. You know, I think of the classic example of this is Billy Graham. You know, I was thinking about him. He's been gone for several years now, at least 10 years or better. But Billy Graham, the last book he was ever a part of was called Nearing Home, Life, Faith, and Finishing Well. Finishing well. What did Paul say there when he got to the end of his life? We read there in 2 Timothy. What did he say? He said, hey, I fought the fight. I kept the faith. I finished the course. All right? Well, that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's all about. And notice what he did. I turned people away from sin instead of turning them toward it. If I'm a phony, if I'm a fake, if I'm a fraud, and if I'm exposed, then everything basically that you hear me say, you become skeptical to. Now, look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. For the lips of the priest shall keep knowledge. That is, the primary function of the priest was to be a teacher. To be a teacher. He's to be a mailman. Just deliver the mail. Here's the mail. Deliver the mail. Don't edit the mail. Don't add or subtract from the mail. Just deliver. Let the chips fall where they may. And here's the danger of it. The danger is a lot of people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to listen. That's what he's already lamented about. All right, people are not going to listen, and people are not going to take it to heart. That's not on you. You deliver the mail. If they don't want to listen, if they don't want to take it to heart, if it doesn't change them, that's okay. That's been the case down through time immemorial. 8 people got on the ark, okay? So don't worry about that. Just deliver the mail. Notice, and the people should seek the law from his mouth. They should be able to come to you and hear the truth. Not sugarcoated, but hear the truth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And that brings me to a fourth point this morning. And I'm going to have to accelerate here. Bad job, bad example. He gives us about 4 verses of the Levitical priesthood of Levi. He says, what a good job he did. What a good example he was. Now he says, you guys, the contemporary setting of Malachi, the priests in Malachi day, he says about them, you've departed from the way. You've departed from the way. You have caused, instead of leading them away from sin, he says, you've caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted, notice, the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So here he's saying, you didn't deliver the mail right. All right? You didn't give the truth to them. All right? Here is why God is so frustrated. All right? So frustrated. The world, all right, would say, oh, you know, it's just different interpretations and perspectives and tolerance and diversity And we got an acronym, in fact, today, DEI. You're going to hear that if you haven't heard it a lot already, all right? It means diversity, equity, and inclusion. And the problem with many is they don't want any authority over them. That's the bottom line, all right? In fact, one time I came across this particular church's website, and it said, "We accept all biblical interpretations." So in other words, there's not a true one and a false one. It's the church of anything goes, and make it up as you go along. You know, I saw something that just got me. The vice presidential candidate that's running with Trump in his acceptance speech talked about how, like all of us have, many of you possibly, "I'm going to be buried where I grew up with my family. I'm going to be buried with my there's a particular place they're buried in Kentucky. I'm going to follow them one day. My wife's going to be buried there. We're going to be buried there." Well, some on the in the press and the media said, "That's white nationalism. That's saying that you're just one big group and that you're going to go all together and you're going to isolate yourself and so on and so forth. You're going to go to your eternal reward up there in heaven and you're going to go and be with your group and you're not inclusive. You're not inclusive." That's how crazy and unbalanced this world has become. And that's why God says here, you've corrupted the example of Levi. Corrupted it. And then I want you to notice, if you would, in verse 9, he says, "Therefore I also have made you contemptible." In other words, you made me contemptible by the sacrifices you brought to me, how you lied and stole and brought lame and blind and junk to me. I'm going to make you contemptible and base before all the people because you have not shown and kept my, you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. Now, Jesus talked about the hireling. The hireling was the minister, the teacher, the shepherd that was in it for the money. He's in it for the money. And he said, he's not there to protect the flock. He's one of those wolves in sheep clothing. All right. Now, that's one area that we see contempt. But a second area I want to point out to you up here on the screen is we can have partiality for different doctrines. You know, I began this message by saying, you know, well, there's the wedding and the funeral and there's, the teaching, the classroom and all of that stuff. Well, you know, there's certain doctrines we like. God loves you. You know, there are some people on television, that's all they're ever going to talk about. They're never going to mention the other side of the coin. They're going to flip the coin and they're always going to come up heads. God loves you. It's never, what about the wrath of God? What about the judgment of God? All right. Because there's doctrines we don't like. Well, don't teach those. Don't teach that God's angry with us. Don't teach that God says in his word that he's going to, what, smear your faces with excrement. Don't talk about stuff like that. That's why some people never, who in a pulpit would never go through the book of Malachi. They'll never go through anything that's offensive. And if they come to it, they'll just jump over it. Oh, I'm not going to preach on that. People don't want to hear that today. And they don't. And they didn't then. All right. They don't want to hear God's angry with us. We want love. We want heaven. We want angels. We want streets of gold. We don't like that other stuff. Don't talk about that stuff. But what did God say about Levi? He said, he feared me. He feared me. You know, that's the problem. And it always has been the problem. We fear people and man more than we fear God. In fact, the Bible talks about that. Let me read a verse to you. It comes from the Voice translation. If you fear other people, you are walking into a dangerous trap. But if you trust in the eternal, you will be safe. All right. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Here's Paul's lament. He says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? That's my choice. Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. I can't be both. In fact, I love this saying I saw. I want to show you up here on the screen. You can't make everyone happy. You're not pizza. Okay? Who do we want to make happy? But I've seen it happen before. I've heard stories about, hey, you don't want brother so-and-so to leave the church. He's a big tither. He gives big. He was upset with something you said last week in your sermon. Tone it down, preacher. We need to pay the bills. We need, you know, your salary. You know where that comes from. Take care. Don't get carried away. Okay? Be very, very careful. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13. Don't fear anything except the Lord of the armies of heaven. If you fear him, you need fear nothing else. One thing that we need to keep telling ourselves is, I'm not going to stand before anybody here. I'm going to stand before Almighty God. Now, I'm going to stand before Almighty God to explain how I shared with you all, and I'll have my own issues, all right, my own things that I'm going to have to answer for, and it's a frightening and scary thought. But I hope I can always say, Lord, I took your word, and I took it at face value. I didn't dilute it. I didn't explain it away. See, God is still looking for individuals, pastors. He's still looking for pulpits. He's still looking for people in the pew who what? Who want the truth. Who speak the truth. They hate sin. They love Jesus. And they teach the Bible. But he's always going to have churches like these priests who are going to water it down, who are going to show partiality in teaching the Word of God. And that brings me to my final conclusion and my final point, and that is the new covenant and the new priesthood. You're not getting out of this, everybody. You can say, well, that was the priests. That was their job. That didn't apply to me today. Come on, Ed, give me something new. Give me something real. Well, I shared with you about when we do that toast, Jesus said, this is my new covenant. This is my new testament. We have the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. We have the Old Covenant. We have the New Covenant. Notice what Peter says. You yourselves, like living stones, are built up as a spiritual house to be a, notice, an holy priesthood, plural, to offer spiritual sacrifices, acceptable, just like these priests of Malachi day, acceptable to God. Don't bring him your lame. Don't bring him your stolen. Don't bring him here your blind. Don't bring him less than your best. All right? Notice, I want to quote some other verses that tie in with that same theme. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race. Notice, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, and made us a kingdom. Notice, priests, plural, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Selah. Selah. Stop and think about it. Listen, we to whom much is given, much is required. Whenever Jesus died on the cross, accessibility into that Holy of Holies was that veil was torn. And we have accessibility, the Bible says, to come to the throne of Almighty God with holy boldness. We have accessibility, all right? We have more responsibility as New Testament saints than they did as Old Testament saints. As I want to point out to you up here on the screen, as priest, and this is just one thing I can cover because we're running out of time, but as priest, here's one of our main jobs, to become intercessors. That's why at the invitation time we say, intercede, intercede, pray for people. We listed people who need, people who are in St. Louis in a hospital. People who are lost. Oh, we know people. Our sphere of influence. None of us are here today, but somebody prayed for us. Somebody prayed for us when we didn't value prayer. We didn't know what prayer was. We didn't care about prayer. Somebody believed for us before we believed ourselves. They stood in the gap. And that's why the last verse I want to share with you this morning, the Bible tells us regarding that intercession. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for a select few, for everybody. For everybody. For Biden, for Trump, for the Demos and the Republicans, for your friends, for your enemies. How are they ever going to possibly change? If they need changing, we need to be interceding. And it's not our job to judge about it. It's our job to do it. It's our job to put ourselves in their shoes. Thank God when I was ignorant and stupid, and I haven't got much beyond that yet, but thank God people were believing for me, praying for me, interceding for me before I ever knew what my left hand from my right hand. All right? A priest is a bridge builder. All right? Between God and mankind. That's why Jesus has left us here on earth to intercede on the behalf of others. And if we don't do it, all right, who's going to do it? Now I want to end with this thought. We read in the song, beautiful song was written about, he ever intercedes. He ever intercedeth. He's always interceding on behalf of us. He said, it's finished. And everything is except his intercession. And thank God he prayed for us. And thank God when we saw the light. Oh, one of these days we're going to stand before him and we're going to hear the true backstory about us. Oh, how did I come to faith in Christ? Look at what type of a person I was. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, for those who interceded and intercepted on my behalf. Will you stand with us today?